And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into 3D here on ESPN 102.5. The game, the gang, is all here again. 4 hours with you. Got another great show in store for you. We're going to give a lot of things away. We're going to ask for your participation. It's going to be a lot of fun as we kick back and do this on this Friday. Darren McFarland, that's me. Derek Mason.
It is I.
Willie Donick.
What's up, guys?
I like it. Everybody seems to be in good spirits.
I have already watched a baseball game today.
Did you?
You have already watched a baseball game.
A rerun? Or
no, a live ball game. I was at the park.
Mahoney had a game?
They already did.
At what time?
8 a.m., first game of the day.
Holy moly.
Man.
That's a little out of control. 8 o'clock.
Man, it's the World Series, man.
There's still
dew
on the ground. You know, grass still wet, man.
Happens. Get used to it. Travel baseball. Darren, you'll have this coming up.
Wow.
Games begin at 8.
Does he play all day?
They won, so they play again at 1:15. That would be it for today.
Wow.
Some of these tournaments, you can play 3 in a day.
Are we able to get live reports at 1:15?
1:15, we will have live reports.
Did Mahoney go back-to-back days?
No. Nope.
Hit a dinger?
Hit a dinger yesterday, but did not hit 2 flyouts today.
Yeah.
But the team got the victory.
Did yesterday go to his head?
Oh, he watched the video about 100 times.
Yeah, it went to his head. So the answer is yes, it went to his head.
Just, Dad, can I see your phone? And then.
Well, I wouldn't say it really went to his head, but when a kid does something, they want to see
it. They want to see it.
Well, when he watches it 100 times, that didn't go. I mean, I know you probably watch your touchdown catches 100 times after every game.
Kids get excited, you know, when they do something, they want to see it again. They want to, you know, they critique every bit of it. Like, man, okay. Maybe if I do that again, I hit another home run.
How many times did you watch your highlights after games?
One time. And that was because we had to watch film.
Derek Mason.
I didn't. For
you
what?
You never went home and watched your highlights?
No, never.
Ever?
No.
I don't believe that.
Man, I would put that on my kid. I never watched a highlight. Never. Only time I watch film is when we had to – if we had to watch the game that Monday, come in early in the morning.
Okay, what about when you were a kid, though?
It was different because the film was different.
Right.
Yeah, the film was different. So.
But if somebody did catch something you did well on videotape or something and you got the tape
– It was hard to get
I didn't get it very – that's
the
thing. I mean, it was hard
to
get that. Now, you know, if you go to a game, a lot of kids have – You know, their
we
parents are at least
send it, you know.
Tape there at bat.
And for some of the listeners out there, that was actually a device, see, where you could watch movies and watch
It was
things.
About the size of your trunk,
it was the,
but it was a device.
It was the size of a car, but that's what we had back then. It was called Beta. Look it up. Google it.
It was the size of your car, but the actual tape was about the size of an iPad. So
right.
Then they created this thing called VHS. And let me tell you, people went nuts. Yeah. It was the greatest thing ever. Yeah, Google that one too. Yeah. VHS.
And then they came out with the blue, what was it? The big, the one that had the big record, looked like the big record. What was those?
Well, that was Beta.
No, Beta.
Yeah,
Beta
looked like
was
a,
the.
Looked like
no,
an album.
Yeah, but Beta was the smaller tapes too.
Oh, wait, right. But I'm talking, yeah, you could do both. But the first one we had was like putting an album.
Yeah,
on
that
there.
Was that. Was, I didn't think that was called Beta. I thought that was
laser disc.
Yeah, laser disc. That's what it was called. Laser disc.
The laser
yeah.
disc.
If you had a laser disc, you was
that
big
didn't really
time.
Catch on though, did it?
No, it
that was
didn't.
Like 3D TV. It never really took
it
off.
It never really caught on. Yeah,
3D TV.
Come on, I'm surprised you don't have one.
By the way, I just got a text from a friend that's listening and says D-Mace right now, not watching his film, and then the rolling eyes emoji.
I didn't have time to sit there and watch film because after Monday was done, I didn't want to watch no more film until Wednesday.
Well, as you get older, I'm sure it's less of an exciting thing.
They play it enough on
but when
ESPN.
When you're a kid. And you do something for the first time, and it's on tape. You're watching that thing.
Oh man, it's like,
I can
yes.
only imagine if when I was playing as a kid, it was the same kind of deal where you could watch all your at bats, or watch yourself pitch. Like I remember, like the first time you ever see yourself on film or on tape, it's like, wow, that's me.
I remember,
like it was such a special thing. Like, oh my gosh, your dad has the film of the game. You're kidding me.
Did they
your
air,
dad tape the
did
game?
Did they air your games in Florida? Like locally? Did they ever do that?
One time we were on a closed circuit,
closed
like public
not,
access
oh,
TV
really?
Or something. I thought that was the coolest
right.
thing ever.
Right. We had a couple school. Times.
One time.
I had a couple games aired on one of the local stations. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
You definitely taped that.
I didn't. And every now and then, you know how the local broadcast, sometimes on Friday night or something, they'd have the local highlights. You're just looking for that snippet, 30 mm-hmm. seconds of your game. Maybe there's two highlights from your game, and maybe one of them is yeah.
See, back
your
then,
highlights. I tried to tape the little local broadcasts uh-huh. it put together,
back
something
then,
like that. I got a couple of those.
People didn't share tape.
Like well, that's what I'm saying. Now, today, you know? It's not a – I mean, even it's if a, something's yeah. – which they
you
do.
You had to have a dad or somebody that taped
yeah.
all the games.
Right.
My dad taped
somebody
a
in
few.
The stands.
My dad would start yelling at the refs or something and miss stuff. He missed a dunk I had one time in high school. I about killed him. I make the steal. He turns his head, and he keeps the camera pointed at the defensive end of the court.
Uh-huh.
You can hear the crowd going and everything, and I went out of the screen.
Oh.
You couldn't see it. I was like, Dad, what happened?
What was he mad about?
He wasn't really mad on that one. He just got distracted.
Oh.
And he didn't film the dunk.
He got distracted by a steal. He
got distracted by the steal or something. Yeah. That was a bummer.
I was watching I just happened to flip on yesterday afternoon. Late in the afternoon, I flipped on SEC Network. They were airing Paul Finebaum.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing a count. They kept panning the room. And as the last media members standing, and they were doing like a countdown.
Mm-hmm.
So when a media member would leave, they would film them leaving the room, and they would take a number off. This, you know, if there was 11 media members left
yeah.
in the big room, because you know where Paul Finebaum did in the big
yeah.
room over there in the corner. And so as they would leave, they would film the media person leaving, and they would take, if it was a down to 11, they would put it down to 10. Guess who made it all the way to 6? And I absolutely wore him out yesterday. Like, I was like, I'm so disappointed in you.
Vince?
He had no idea any of this was going on. They did film him leaving the room. Vince. Vince Ferrara, WNML. I was like, man, you got to win.
He couldn't hold out.
He was mad at me for even – wanting that. He's like, I was mad at myself for even being there that long.
Who was he listening to?
He said
that
he
long?
Knew that they filmed him leaving,
uh-huh.
and they did. They like walking with him, and he's like, smiling. He's got like a WNML program.
Hey, Puffin,
but he
nation.
Has no idea what's going on, like what they're doing. And they were doing it because they're like, there goes another one. Mm. And they film him leaving, and they counted it down to 6.
Who was in the room? Why was he in the room? Who was talking?
Nobody. Oh, no, nobody. Wow. That was way over.
Oh, wow.
He was just in there doing stuff for the NML.
Oh. Wow.
But I wanted him to win so bad.
You wanted him to be laughing.
And then he was mad because I sent him a text like, I'm so disappointed in you. And then he called me immediately. He's like, and I'm disappointed in you that you would actually say that. He's like, I'm disappointed in myself for being there that long.
I was like, once you get to a certain point,
right,
you got to go for it.
That's what I said, Willie. Thank you. I was like, look, I wasn't rooting for you the whole time. At first, I was like, dude, get out of there. Go home. What are you doing? And then as it kept going, I was like, then things change. I'm like, now you have to win. Now you have to go for it.
It's almost like, a record that maybe is not the greatest record, but people always remember your name. Like the guy that gives up hit number 3,000 for the hitter or something.
Yeah.
Michael Strahan's 100th sack or,
phantom sack.
The quarterback that got sacked is the guy you remember.
The one he broke the record?
Yeah, remember Brett Favre intentionally got sacked? For Michael Strahan to get the record?
Okay, and I hate to go off script.
Now, see, that's bad. I mean, that's bad to do that.
Did y'all like that? Like,
no, that was
buddies.
Terrible.
It was horrible.
That was terrible.
Like,
you don't do that.
Dude, you don't do that. You just gave up the sack on purpose. Like, I'm just going to let him have this.
Allegedly.
There was a guy.
No, he did it on purpose.
Allegedly.
He saw him and just went down.
Okay, what about this? I said, that's bad. There's no question. What about this? Is this bad? There was a pitcher named Brian Kingman. For the Oakland A's, he lost 20 games in a season in like 1980. And he was the last pitcher to lose 20 games. With every passing year, pitchers don't go as deep into games. There's not as many complete games. There's a lot more no decisions. But he would be rooting for guys to win so that nobody else could say they were the last guy to lose 20. And then there was a guy, Darren, remember we went to opening day in Detroit that year, 2003, I think, when they had a horrendous team.
Played the Twins.
And they had a guy that lost 20.
Yes.
So Brian
something. Yeah, a lefty.
Mike Maloof, Maloff.
No, Mike Maroth. Maroth.
So Brian King was going to all Mike Maroth starts and rooting for the Tigers so that Mike Maroth would win and not lose 20 games, but it didn't work.
When we come back, we caught up with Vanderbilt quarterback Kyle Shurmur down at SEC Media Days. You're going to hear that when we come back. Plus, after you hear that, really good discussion with him. The predictions are out. The media has predicted the East and the West and the SEC champion. That just came out from the SEC. We'll have that on the other side as well. You're listening to 3D, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Last year, Kyle Shurmur, Vanderbilt, then sophomore quarterback, set a record for 2,409 passing yards, which was a record for a sophomore quarterback. And they scored 117 more points than they did the previous year. He's going into his junior year. They're expecting big things from him. He ended on a high note in the regular season last year here in Nashville, throwing for over 400 yards in route to beating the Vols before going on to lose in the bowl game. We got a chance to catch up with Kyle Shurmur, Vanderbilt quarterback down at SEC Media Days, and here's what he had to say.
Kyle, how you doing?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
How was it upstairs?
It was great. It was great.
You lived to tell about it?
Was it nerve-wracking?
No, it wasn't too bad. Got to dress up real nice. Tell you what.
It's a nice suit. I like it.
No, I think we're the best-looking team here, that's for
sure. I like
that. But no, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Did you get a chance to talk to Ralph about it since he's, this is just old hat for him.
No, I know. He's I've never seen a person so obsessed with how he dressed. He told me all about it, and it's been it's pretty smooth so far.
Just talk about just your progression and how things came along, because it was very clear the first half of the season to the second half of the season last year, things changed for you. What changed?
I think just us as an offense as a whole, we grew throughout the year. I think we had a lot of young guys, and I think as we grew with experience, you get that consistency. Saw flashes throughout the year, especially early on, of we could do some big time things. What you saw later on in the year is us consistently doing that and playing efficient offense and putting the ball in the end zone. And I think that's really what was separated us from the first half of the year, is consistently playing at a high level, doing it all the time as opposed to some of the time.
Well, somebody that was very consistent, Kyle, for you guys has been Ralph Webb in the backfield.
Yep.
What is it like to have a guy like that you guys can depend on him in your offensive schemes because of what he does?
Yeah, I mean, Ralph plays with a chip on his shoulder. You guys see him running the ball really well, but he embraces the role of being a complete back. And what you guys really don't see is behind the scenes. He's a great person, great teammate, great leader, and we're very lucky to have him.
Did things slow down for you at this level?
Yeah.
I mean, you always – I like to talk to guys, whether they're rookies in the NFL or younger guys in college. Do things slow down the more seat time you get?
Yeah. I mean, definitely you learn through experience. And every time, you step foot on the field, you gain so much more knowledge, so much more, playing time. And until you're really thrown into the fire, you experience failure, you experience adversity and success as well, I think you really learn and you grow. So, yeah, definitely as I've, us as a whole, really as an offense as a whole, as long as, as we went through the year, I think we learned a lot and we really grew.
I know Derek's going to ask you about your dad, because your dad actually coached Derek when he was in East Lansing at Michigan State.
A long time ago.
Your dad's obviously been around the game for a long time. So
yeah.
What has he meant to you in your life, and how much do you try to pick his brain, or do you, as you've progressed here at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's he's been a father first, and that's the coolest thing. He's a coach second. He never really forced football upon me, and I always had the opportunity to be around, NFL facilities and college facilities growing up. So that was awesome. I just thought it was really cool, but he never forced football upon me. And but if I wanted to talk to him about football, I mean, he'd talk my ear off. So so there was that.
Did you know that football was going to be your sport of choice, or was that, you know, was there maybe something else in play?
Yeah, I mean, my mom was a swimmer in college, and my sisters and I swam, like, growing up. But I wanted to play football, obviously. There's no shot of swimming.
So Michael Phelps didn't sway you into the pool?
Not at all. Not at all.
Now, looking at what you did last year, and we have had Coach Mason on. We would have him on every week, mm-hmm. and we would talk about, you know, the struggles that the offense had. Mm-hmm. And he would always tell us, listen, we're getting there. You know, we haven't lost confidence in Kyle. We're getting there. We're doing some things to kind of help him out. But as a player, how do you manage? Because you guys were able to keep it all together amidst a lot of the noise from the outside. What's mm-hmm. going on with Kyle Sherman? What's going on with the offense? They're not, you know, moving the ball efficiently mm-hmm. like we thought they would. How were you and the team able to kind of keep it all together?
I think we play for each other. We don't play for anybody else. And I think we play hard for our teammates. I think we stay true to ourselves. I'm a realist. I know what I do well. I don't know what I don't do well. And, you know, I think we all, you know, played for each other, and we grew together. And it was great to put, you know, some good performances late in the year. And I think you saw throughout the year, you know, our progression.
Now, you end up losing your starting center to graduation. And as you know, the center is kind of an extension. It is an extension of the quarterback.
Yeah.
But you do have three returning starters on the offensive line. Just talk about those three guys and how important it is to have at least some cohesiveness mm-hmm. amongst that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, Justin School played right tackle. He's going to be our left tackle this year. Very smart guy. Great player. Love having him. Bruno Reagan played guard for us last year. He's going to be a great player. Was like a wrestler in high school, so he knows how to move guys and everything. So, yeah, goofy guy, but love him to death. And there's Ian Pfeiffer, who played last year. Same deal, love him to death. Great guy, works really hard, great lineman. And those three guys have really worked hard, you know, and worked together to really, you know, take control of that offensive line.
Exactly. Now talk a little bit also how playing against Derek Mason's defense in practice, how much better that made you at recognizing defenses? Because from what I gather, he loves to throw a lot at you.
Yeah.
And you have to process it very quickly. But just talk about that and how that was that experience what helped you during the regular season.
I mean, I got some advice from Jordan Matthews to treat every practice like it's game day. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, we're not getting hit around in practice or
exactly.
anything. That's not game day. But but we played a, you know, a great defense. We're practicing against a great defense every day, and that only made us as an offense better. And we're very fortunate of that. And you know, I think you know, just working against them makes us all better.
How hungry are you guys, knowing the way the season ends? You come off these two highs, incredible yeah. highs, ending the regular season. Beating Ole Miss, beating Tennessee at home. Then you get a little bit of a break. You prepare for your bowl game, and then the bowl game didn't go the way. How much hunger did you kind of in the off season to get back to where you the way it ended yeah. and kind of fix that?
Mm-hmm. I think you saw we compared it to you know, that bowl game. We had some struggles earlier in the year, and I think we got out of those towards the end of the regular season. And I think, like, we took a step back in that bowl game. It looked more like the first half of the year. So that's frustrating. It's a shame we didn't send the seniors off the right way. But if anything, we're going to learn from it, and it's going to make us more hungry. It has made us more hungry this offseason. And going into bowl season next year, we're going to know what to expect.
We'll have to score some points against Middle to kick off the season.
Oh, yeah.
they're pretty good on offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a tremendous team. You know, everybody talks about these great SEC teams, but you know, our full focus right now is on beating MTSU. They got a great squad, played in the past 2 years, played us close, and you know, we got all the respect in the world for them, and you know, we're looking forward to the challenge.
I have really good news for you. Larry Leathers is going to whisk you away, and you get to go back home.
Larry, the bodyguard over here.
He is.
He's the best.
Hey,
he's the best.
Thanks for doing this. Good
thanks
to talk
so much.
To you.
Well, tell your dad I said hello to as
awesome.
Well.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Larry Leathers, the bodyguard. I don't think I've heard that one before.
Wait a minute. When you say the bodyguard, I'm thinking the movie.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner.
Is he Costner or Whitney?
Nothing
Whitney
like
Houston?
Costner. Nah.
I don't think he's Kevin Costner.
I don't think it's Kevin Costner.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, you know, Larry Leathers is
a lot like Kevin Costner. He's a lot like Kevin Costner.
I'm not saying Larry's not cool, but Kevin Costner was cool in that movie. Like, really cool.
Just say he was cooler.
Yeah, he was cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, than Larry. Larry probably can be cool. I just hadn't seen it, you know.
Was that a compliment?
Yeah,
it was a compliment.
It was
a compliment.
That was a very uncertain laugh by us. Like, what did he mean by that? Larry Leathers, everybody.
You mentioned Larry the Leathers. Bodyguard, so.
Larry Leathers, run into our Kyle Sherman.
This is the way Larry Leathers feels about Kyle Sherman.
Kyle, let's get you. Gotta get you out of here.
Guys, you gotta wrap this up. Kyle's gotta go. Gotta get back to Nashville.
This is how Larry looked at Kyle when he was getting on a plane. Why are we making fun of Larry? Why are we making fun of Larry?
I said after the interview, let's talk about this before we come back, and we'll unveil the predictions for this year in the SEC. I think the first four games, minus one, Alabama A&M, it's a brutal start to the season. I mean, Vanderbilt is going to get a real test right out of the gates in the first month of their season. They're going to start in Murfreesboro against MTSU.
That's going to be tough.
And they're going to have to score like they did last year after the lightning delay. They came back and they pounded MTSU after the lightning
delay. That's not a gimme.
But that they're down in Murfreesboro. It's going to be a different game. So MTSU is not going to be easy at all. In fact, I haven't even seen the line. I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Is there a line already?
Oh, yeah. There's lines out. It's okay. Probably, wouldn't you say, a pick 'em? One,
yeah.
Two? I mean, it's Phil or less.
Over, really? Over under has to be 60.
All right, oh, it's
I'm curious.
Yeah,
60,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So then you get Alabama A&M. But then two home games, Kansas State. A lot of people think they're a ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be good again with Bill Snyder. And Alabama. Those are their first four games. And it doesn't get any easier, by the way, after that. Then you go to the Swamp to play Florida, and then you host Georgia. That's their first six games. That's the first half of Vanderbilt's season. At MTSU, home against Alabama A&M, home against Kansas State, home against Alabama, at Florida, home against Georgia. That's the first half of their season. Now, the bright side is, in all of that, a lot of those, most of those are at home.
Yeah. That's the silver lining in it all. But even with you look at it and you say, wow, that is a, you know, a daunting task for the Commodores. But they can, this can set them up in such a good way after that string of games there, because realistically, looking at it now, and I'm not saying, you know, what's going to happen, even though Alabama has their question marks and we talked to Nick about it, but looking at their schedule now, there's only one game that is a, like, everybody's looking at it like, okay, they're going to lose that game, and that's Alabama. But the rest of them, you're like, okay, they got a really good shot after, you know, five, six games to have only one, maybe two losses under their belt.
I give them a lot of credit last year for hanging in there. Sometimes when you go through these things in July, which is always fun because we can't wait to get the season started. We're looking at everybody's schedule and saying, well, that's a win. That's probably a loss. That's a possibility. Would you have ever dreamed last year that I would tell you Vanderbilt will make a bowl game, but they will lose to Kentucky, Missouri, and opening night to South Carolina? You would have said I was on drugs.
Right. The same could be said if we told you that Tennessee was going to beat Florida and beat Georgia and not win the division.
Not win the East. Yeah. So you never know. So let's do this. You guys talked about the line. Okay. When we come back, let me ask. We'll play the Plaz game.
Okay.
Guess the line.
Let's look at the lines, and also
for a couple of these games that we're talking about, these opening games.
Who did the SEC pick to win the East? Where did they have Tennessee slotted? Where did they have Vanderbilt slotted? We'll give you all the predictions
when we come back. You're listening to 3D, 102.5 The Game. The media has weighed in on their East and West predictions in the SEC. The SEC just releasing this as we hit the airwaves. By the way, the media is never right on these predictions. So if you're a fan of one of these schools, which you probably will be, and you hear and you don't like where the media has picked them, you're probably in good shape. Don't worry about it. If they've predicted your favorite team to win it, you're probably a little bit nervous. That's how this works. All right, let's start in the West. We'll get back to the East. Let's start in the West. There's no secret Alabama is going to be picked to win the West.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 2 through 7. Derek, start with you.
2 through 7.
Well, give me – let's just start – you two trying to predict who's two.
Okay. Two would be Auburn.
Auburn. And quite honestly, the Alabama-Auburn gap isn't substantial. Mm-hmm. 1683 votes for Alabama, 1329 for Auburn. So, yeah, I mean, that's a gap, but it's not probably the gap you were expecting. I'll tell mm-hmm. you, I'll show you another example of a gap mm-hmm. when we get over to the east side.
Okay.
1683 to 1329. So Auburn second in the West, according to the media. Who's third?
LSU.
LSU, 1262. So pretty tight race between Auburn and LSU for that second spot. But slight edge goes to the Tigers. Well, the Auburn Tigers. They're both Tigers.
Uh-huh.
Auburn 2, LSU 3. Who's 4?
Now, this is where it gets
this
tricky.
This is where it's going to get
tricky.
This is
where it gets tricky. Because Ole Miss, you have an argument with their quarterback. Was it Patterson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Patterson. And he played really good last year in spot duty. You don't know what Texas A&M is going to be. And then Arkansas, oh, man. I would say – Arkansas.
I go Texas A&M.
One of you is correct.
I believe it's Willie.
Arkansas, number 4.
Oh.
Wow.
Arkansas, 796.
Why were you so unsure of yourself, Derek? You
because
had
I'm just – Arkansas, it's just – I don't know. I want Brett Bielema to finally get that program going, but – seems like every year since he's been there, you know, they tell off or they lose games they're supposed to win.
Well, there was quite a gap from LSU to Arkansas. So LSU had 1,262 votes, Arkansas 796. So the gap between 3 and 4 was quite large. 5 is 722. So 796 to 722. Who was 5?
I
got
to
go Texas
yeah.
A&M now.
I say A&M.
A&M 5. So that leaves the Mississippi schools 6 and 7.
I say Ole Miss.
These are pretty good teams that are being picked 6 and 7th. I'll say Ole Miss 6 and Mississippi State 7.
Ole Miss has more talent, I think.
The team that received the fewest amount of votes in the entire conference
mm-hmm.
resides in the West.
Wow.
So the team they predicted 7th in the West had the fewest amount of votes of anyone.
So maybe that's Ole Miss.
Serious?
I am serious.
Considering who's in the East?
Yes. Which means less than Missouri.
Only way I believe it's Ole Miss is because they feel they're on probation and this team is not going to – they got so many things surrounding them. That
there's a bowl ban.
Yeah, I know that they're not going to play as hard. So, but I'm going to stick with Ole Miss as being, you know, right
6?
Behind. Yeah.
Okay. Willie?
I'll still go Ole Miss 6, Mississippi State 7.
Mississippi State 6, Ole Miss
the worst.
7.
Wow.
Worst team in
Jeez.
The conference.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of it has to do.
According to the media.
A lot of it has to do with the bowl ban.
If that's the case, Hugh Freeze won't survive.
Yeah.
Hmm.
if they end up being the worst team in the conference.
Because they have talented receiver. They have a quarterback that that's proven he can play. Obviously, they got to replace some guys on defense. But to me, they have a good team. So it must be a lot of what's going on internally.
Okay, in the East, first and second, very, very close.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
1572 to 1526.
Florida won.
I said Georgia won, Florida two.
They're 1 and 2.
One of you is correct.
Right, no, it's they're Florida and Georgia, 1 and 2, 2 or 1.
I said Georgia won, Florida two.
I say Florida won, Georgia two.
Georgia won.
Yes.
Georgia won, Gators two. Third, so you go from 1,572 votes to 1,526 to 998. How about the gap from 2 to 3?
Surprising,
in the East?
Especially because the Athlon guys, you know, I listen to Braden a lot. Mitch Light's on there with him a lot. They seem to think that Tennessee is right there with Georgia and Florida.
Well, the SEC media does not believe that.
But Tennessee's still a solid third.
Or the media that was there, 1,200. Do not believe that.
I would say it's Tennessee's third. Not a solid third, but I say they're third.
Tennessee third at 998. Fourth really wasn't that far behind.
Kentucky.
South Carolina.
One of you is correct.
Kentucky seems to be the sexy pick.
They have a really loud, annoying noise when they score a touchdown in their stadium. So, Derek, you are correct.
South Carolina.
The Gamecocks.
I'm on a roll, Willie. Get some.
South Carolina four. Who's five?
It's Kentucky. Kentucky's got to be five.
I say Vandy.
Kentucky is five. And Vanderbilt is really, actually, they are the they received the third fewest votes. Vanderbilt is six. Missouri is seven. Ole Miss and Missouri, the only two teams that received fewer votes than Vanderbilt. I have to believe, without knowing, without polling people, just going off what we discussed with folks down there when we talked about Vanderbilt, I have to believe the schedule plays into effect. Because let me just give you the difference. Remember, Kentucky was five, and then there's a huge then a drop-off from five to six. So Kentucky got way more votes than Vanderbilt. So I gave you Vanderbilt's first six games, right? That's not exactly a walk in the park. In fact, it's just the opposite. Outside of Alabama A&M, it is kind of murderer's row. It really is. Kentucky's first six games at Southern Miss, hosting Eastern Kentucky, at South Carolina, home against Florida, who they haven't beaten in 50 years, home against Eastern Michigan, home against Missouri. Can you see the difference between Kentucky's first half of the season on the schedule, on paper, and Vanderbilt's?
But they do this every year, Kentucky. They line it up. So after six games, they're 5-1, 6-0, or after five games, they're 5-0, 4-1. And then they hit the schedule, and they end up losing the next 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5. And they go from number 25 or 26 in the rankings to number 50. So
right, because the second half of their season gets extremely difficult.
Now, so I don't know. I would rather have it like Vandy. I would rather have it like Vandy.
Well, okay, let me play the other side of the coin, because I would say, I'm just saying this maybe as a worry wart, but don't you think there is more of a chance you sustain injuries early in the season than late in the season? For example, would you rather play the toughest teams on your schedule early in the year when you're not as likely to have attrition on your roster?
I would say usually, unless you're Alabama, LSUs of the world, you want to play the better teams early on, because the teams that have depth issues, it usually starts to catch up with them in the second half of the season when guys start dropping.
I can say, do you want to play Alabama third week of the season?
Well, are you likely to? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to lose guys against teams like Alabama where you just
I would rather play Alabama early, because I have my guys, they have their guys, and they hadn't played many games. To me, I just think it's a little bit more of an equal balance. so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because if you play them at the end of the year, you have some guys hurt. Alabama has some guys hurt. They don't care. It's like, okay.
They got depth. It doesn't matter.
We got two more behind that's ready to go.
Yeah, for a team like that, it doesn't matter. I used to hear from Vanderbilt fans a lot, boy, I wish we could play Tennessee early in the season, at least occasionally, when we've got our whole team. Vanderbilt used to have serious depth problems, and there were a lot of times by the end of the season they had no chance against Tennessee, at least on paper. They just didn't have a lot of the key guys, and you thought if there's any chance of beating them, you got to have everybody. Of course, they've beaten them 3 out of the last 5 years, so it hasn't been a problem recently. But depth is certainly really important.
So recapping, the media predicted Georgia would win the East, Alabama wins the West, and Alabama would be your SEC champ by a landslide. Auburn would be second, and they would be like four states over in second from Alabama, followed by Georgia, then LSU. So those are the top four teams they predicted to be the SEC champ overall.
What
Alabama
means,
Auburn, Georgia, LSU.
That means Alabama wins, Georgia doesn't. Auburn finished third, LSU second. And Vandy's finds themselves somewhere in between 4 and 6, or when, 3 and 6.
When we come back, we'll peek at some of the lines.
Opening day lines.
There's a lot of really good games, by the way. So we'll do that to wrap up the first hour of 3D next. Rick Neuheisel to kick off the second hour of 3D. You're not going to want to miss this. He's really, really good. You're going to want to hear this coming up at 11 o'clock. This is what we call What's My Line or something like that. First week of the college football season, pretty darn good schedule. Much better than what it used to be, when it was all the big boys playing Cupcake City. Marathon Oil, Athletes in Action, some team Nike put together, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Reebok University.
Reebok University, Statue of Liberty. I mean, they just, you know, they're just these ridiculous Cupcake City teams. Well, that's not the case anymore. Week one of the college football season, some really good matchups.
All right,
and we're going to take a peek or guess at their lines.
Yes, make a quick guess because we got a lot of games we want to get to here. There's a lot of good games. Let's start with Derek's alma mater quickly, the one non-SEC game I have here. Bowling Green at Michigan State. What's the line, Derek?
The line is 17.
Bowling Green was a pile of manure last year. They were poo. I'm going to say 21.
Chase.
I'm going to say 24.5.
You're around it. Derek wins on the Price is Right rules. 19.5.
Yes.
Because I went over?
Because you went over.
You
overbid.
Went over.
You've
been
to the Price is Right. You know how it works.
Come on. Don't try to act like you don't know how it works. Come on. Goodness.
Well, I don't know if those are. We'll play Price Bob Barker rules.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
are.
Appalachian State at Georgia. Remember Appalachian State? How badly they challenged Tennessee.
If it wasn't for Jalen Hurd, they lose that game.
Yeah.
Okay.
App State at Georgia?
Yes. What do you got?
Georgia by 13.
I say Georgia 17.5.
I'm going to say 19.
Georgia is a 14.5 point favorite.
I win.
Okay, so that's one for Darren, one for Derek.
Yeah.
South Carolina at North Carolina State.
Say it again.
South Carolina at North Carolina State. Chase.
I'll say South Carolina 6.5.
South Carolina 6.5. Derek.
I would say South Carolina 3.5.
South Carolina 3.5.
So give me the matchup again.
South Carolina at North Carolina State.
In Raleigh.
In Raleigh.
North Carolina State by 1.
North Carolina State by 5.
There you go. Boom.
Darren, second victory. NC State, after that dismantling of Vanderbilt in that bowl game, that got my attention. All right. Michigan at Florida in the swamp. Derek.
Michigan. Michigan by 8.
Michigan by 8 at Florida.
No.
Darren.
Florida by 3.
What?
Chase.
You picking Florida?
I'm just going to be that guy. I'm going to say Michigan 3.5.
Florida by 4.
Boom.
In the swamp.
Wow. They're picking Florida over Michigan?
In the swamp. Yeah. It's in the swamp, man.
Doesn't matter. They're Michigan.
We'll see. I mean, this is July, whatever today is. We're mid-July. This could be a little different when it actually rolls around.
Probably won't be a
You don't think it'll be that different?
I mean, if something major happens, right.
If they have a quarterback issues going, you know, coming out of camp, then it changes.
Well, okay, for example, who will be Florida's quarterback? Will a kid from Notre Dame, Malik Zaire, will he win that job between now and then, or is it Jack Del Rio's kid?
By the way, you can call me after the show, 888-770-2323.
All right, Chase, this one's for you. BYU at LSU. What do you got?
LSU by, I'll say 11.
LSU by 11. Darren.
Ooh, I was going to say LSU by 10, so Chase has kind of boxed me in. LSU by 13.
LSU by 13. Derek.
I say LSU, it's going to be a double. It's going to be a touchdown. It means two touchdowns. I say LSU by 14.
Come on, man.
I say LSU by 14.
13 and a half.
I win.
Price is Right rules. How many you got?
888-770-2323. Call me after the show. I'll give you the pick. I'll burn your
guy. That's 4 for Darren and 1 for Darren.
What?
You sound very familiar with these recordings.
What?
Darren?
Is that what they say?
How do you know
he
that?
He said, I'll burn your guy.
All right. Darren, Kentucky at Southern Miss. At Southern Miss. Didn't Southern Miss go to Kentucky and win last year?
They did. They sure did.
You can't. No, you can't look at score. You can't look at score. No,
no, I'm looking.
You can't do anything.
No, you can't call your guy.
You can't. Yeah, you called it a guy. No,
you the
no.
score of last
no.
year's game.
No, we don't want to know the score of last year's game. No,
jeez,
no.
Cheating.
You all would know. I'm going to tell you.
Nobody wants to know.
Fine. You could tell the pressure is mounting on you two. Kentucky by 3.
Kentucky by 3 at Southern Miss.
Kentucky travels to Southern Miss. They won last year, Southern Miss. Kentucky, I want to say pick them, but Kentucky, you said 3? Kentucky by 6.
By 6. Chase.
That's what I was going to say. Kentucky by 3.5.
Kentucky by 10.
Wow.
Yes.
Score one for Mason.
You could take your book back.
Now, let me tell you, last year what happened, Southern Miss won 44-35 in Lexington.
Southern Miss must have lost some guys.
I'm still way ahead. You can call me 888-770-2323.
All right, Chase, for you, Vanderbilt at Middle Tennessee.
I'll say Vandy by 10.
Vanderbilt by 10 for Chase.
Vandy by 3.
By 3 for Derek.
Ooh. Vanderbilt by, Chase said 10.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt by
Derek
10.
Derek said 3.
This game is at Middle Tennessee.
Vandy by 3.5.
Ah, oh, you sucker.
Yeah, that's right.
You did it.
Vanderbilt by 5.5.
Oh!
888-770-2323.
You're that guy on the
I
Price
will burn
is Right.
Your guy. You're call that me. Guy. Call me now.
You're that guy on Price is Right that bids a dollar ahead of the other guy.
All right, we got three more.
There was a gap.
Three more quick ones. Texas A&M at UCLA. Let's go Chase first. Now, Chase, you went first last time. Let's go Darren first.
No, I need to go. I'm first.
Well, go ahead.
It's an advantage to go last.
What? No, 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 go ahead. No, no, go ahead.
Chase has gone last like 6 times, and he hasn't got one yet.
No one's surprised by this.
Wow. Wow. Chase last. Who would have predicted? 888-770-2323.
Chase is working on the goose egg right now.
I will say University of California, whatever they call them. University of California.
The Bruins?
Yeah, the Bruins.
I'm sure Floyd really appreciated that.
I'm sorry, Floyd. I will say UCLA bye.
Our show is over at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Can you make a prediction?
You sat here and said.
Trying to look at the book. He's trying to look at the book over
there. To look at the book.
Flipping the pages.
UCLA halfway young. By 6.
UCLA by 6. Darren.
Come on, Darren.
UCLA by 3.
UCLA by 3. Chase.
Pick 'em.
A dead pick 'em. The answer is UCLA by 3.5.
I won.
No, you didn't.
No, I went over.
888-779-2323. Call me. Call me now.
Come on, Chase.
We got to go because Derek can't land the plane.
That's you. It ain't me.
We've got two more, the biggies.
By the way, what difference does it make if they're Bruins, if they're Cow-Cows? I mean, just give a prediction. You're like, you don't need to say their
nickname. Well, you're wasting time now.
Exactly.
UCLA
we got two
is
to go.
The
go ahead, Willie. Just go.
Tennessee at Georgia Tech. Darren.
Tennessee by 4.
GT by 3.
Tennessee 3.5.
Tennessee by 3.5. Exactly. Chase McKay wins on the board.
But he still finishes last.
Well,
we got to go.
The last one. Florida State against Bama. Is that a neutral site?
Bama by a touchdown.
Bama by a touchdown. Would that be 6 or 7?
It's a neutral site, Atlanta.
Okay.
So Bama by 7.
By 7.
Bama by 7.5.
By 7.5.
Bama by 6.5.
By 7. That's exactly right.
What is it?
Bama by 7.
888-777-2323. Call me now. I'll burn your guy. Hour number 2 next.